But from changing the way we think, we move to be ye holy. Because you have to think holiness before you can be holiness. It'll cause you to think totally different about yourself. We look at God and say, oh yeah, he's holy. Well, we're made in his image and after his likeness. So whatever he is, well, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus holy? Yes. Is he holy right now? Are we sure about that? Yes. Well, the Bible says concerning Jesus, as he is, so are we in this earth. So if he's holy where he is, guess what we should be? Holy where we are. And who should know it? Well, we should know it first. Something happened yesterday that was, I found very interesting, even though similar things have happened to Minister Phyllis and me before. We were in a restaurant. Restaurant we found, not like it was lost, we just came And so we've been going there a few times. And we were sitting down and we weren't having intense fellowship, but we were coming back from not being in agreement to getting to agreement. And we're sitting at the table and this lady gets up, because I saw the other family come in, and the lady gets up and walks over to us and says, you guys are so cute. I'm like, cute? Today is our 23rd anniversary. And I looked at my husband and said, we want to be just like them. didn't know who they had, never seen them before in my life. Sitting in a restaurant, eating grits with turkey sausage gravy.
Yes.
But they saw something in us. Sometimes, folks, other people see things in your relationship, in your marriage, that you don't take the time to see. We see what was done, they see what is. They see what we represent, and they want to be like us. You know, you wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago. And God told us to bless them, so we tried to surprise them by paying their check, but they found us out as we were leaving. They came running, wait. And everybody in the restaurant is looking, wondering what's going on. And we're talking like we're the only ones in the restaurant. They saw something. And that's what happens wherever you go. People should see something in you that they recognize that it's different, number one. And number two, I want it. Whatever it is they have, I want it too. Well, it starts out by being holy. Because you know what an offshoot of being holy is? Holiness. Holiness. So would you turn with me, please? I didn't forget to pray. God told me, go on. He said that Deacon Caritha already prayed heaven down. But this all grew, so to speak, out of Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation. It says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his ways. And pastors, myself included, use that passage and we emphasize, stop imitating the culture around you. Stop imitating the culture around you. Stop, don't do that. And we read it in 16 different translations to make sure you get it. You're not supposed to be acting like the culture around you. But the verse before it, if we paid attention to it, tells us how to keep from acting like the culture around us. It says, live in holiness. That's what it says. Because if you're living in holiness and your culture around you is not, guess who's not going to imitate that? You. Why? It ain't holy. It ain't holy. Verse 1 says, I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God and be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness. That's what it says. But living in holiness, what we need to understand what that is. It's not walking around all day praying in tongues. It's not rolling on the floor. It's not. In the scripture, in the New Testament, when it talks about being holy, it's talking about being undefiled by sin. It talks about being pure. It says pure holiness. And if we walk around and our mindset is that I'm going to be undefiled by sin, it doesn't matter what shows up. You've got it settled. Look at James 4. Lord, you're doing it again. Can I do 1 Peter first? Okay. James 4. Verse 7. This is out of the Passion Translation. This connects to Romans 12:1. Because Romans 12:1 says, surrender to God and live in holiness. James 4:7 says, so then surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Well, that sounds great. But I have a basic question to just about everything I read. How? How? When you live in holiness, you are resisting the devil. You think about that. Surrender to God. That's what it says first. You can't resist the devil if you haven't first surrendered to God. Why? Because if you haven't first surrendered to God, you're not going to do what he says. And if you're not going to do what he says, it's impossible for you to resist the devil. Because you'll do what he says. But when you live in holiness, there's a scripture I like because it says, but live in holiness. That's why I think I wanted to get to 1 Peter. Can I go back there now, Lord? 1 Peter 1, Amplified Bible. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. In the Amplified Classic, verse 15 starts out with the word, but. B-U-T. But. As the one who called you is holy. Think about that. As the one who called who? Right. Say it again, please. It's not as the one who's called my knucklehead brother. The one who called, you can't get away from it. That scripture is talking directly to us as individuals. The one who called us, as the one who called us, is holy. But as the one who called us is holy, be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. Now, what's left out of all? So there is no escape. There is no escape. It says, but. So you can't. We're talking to all of us as individuals. I'm included in that. But believe it or not, I am an individual. Even though that person may have cursed you out, as the one who called, but as the one who called you is holy, be holy in everything you do, in all mannerisms, in all your conduct. That person woke up and said, I'm going to drive and find someone to cut off and run on the side of the road today. Yes. First the eyes pop out, then the mouth comes open, and then these words we want to come out of our mouths. But as the one who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. So if you are doing that, and the devil says, let her rip, you let her rip. Father, I bless them. Let your grace fall down on them today. If you have to say something. If you just have to say something. Because you're doing what the Bible says. You're doing what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. That's what holiness does. And if we're not doing that, then we ain't holy. We're doing that James Brown song. Talking loud, but saying nothing. That's what we're doing. I think it's in Matthew 17 in the Message Bible. It said we're just doing things to pump ourselves up. It doesn't say that verbatim. I'm paraphrasing. But you get what I mean. But as the one who called you is holy, be you holy in all your conduct and manner of living. So no matter what happens, but I'm holy as the one who called me. I'm as holy. So Christ called me. He's holy. I'm as holy as he is. If we don't see ourselves like that, those words will never come out of our mouths. And since they don't come out of our mouths, they'll never get down into our heart. And we'll never act like we're holy. We'll act like we're unholy. And we'll look forward and forward to opportunities to demonstrate how unholy we can be. You just let them mess with me once more. I got something for them. You just wait. They think just because I'm a Christian they can get away with it. I still know how to do this. And I know how to throw one too. But as the one who called me is holy, I have to be holy in all manner of living. I sat down thinking about that for about 15 minutes last night. Just that part. But as the one who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. And you need to let that roll around in your head. Because that's how you resist the devil. You cannot resist him without being holy, and you cannot be holy without first surrendering to God. Now, I knew you were going there, Lord. You have to forgive these conversations that I have. I'm not losing my mind. But he brought something to my remembrance yesterday. I don't know if it was 2 years or 5 years, so I'll just say a couple of years ago, there was a horrific accident in Manhattan. I mean, it was terrible. A crane that was about 20 stories high became dislodged and fell. Now, there were several theories and opinions as to why it fell, but the prevailing thought, the conclusion, was that the crane was not securely fastened to its support. They said a piece of steel fell off the building and sheared off one of the connections. That means one of the things that's supposed to connect this crane to the building wasn't secure. So something came and hit it, and where if it were secure, it would have just bounced off, but because it wasn't secure, it cut it. And that crane was not designed to function without the proper support. We are not designed to function without the proper support. Say, I am not designed to function without the proper support. And the connection to that support must be securely fastened. See, when the crane, because that connection was not secure, the crane fell. And it didn't just fall down, it fell against an apartment building. The top portion of the crane snapped off and demolished the brownstone on the next block. The crane fell on this block, but it didn't fall sideways, it fell back to the next block. 4 people lost their lives. Several were physically injured. Most all of them were emotionally injured. And scores of people were displaced. None of that was the reason. Well, let me ask it this way. Why do you think that happened? It wasn't because the crane fell. It's because the crane was not properly secured. And that's what caused all, not its falling. Falling is a result of it not being properly secured. If it's properly secured to its support, I don't care what comes. Hurricane force winds could come, that crane's not going anywhere. It may, but it ain't falling because it has been properly secured, and it was someone's responsibility to make sure that crane was properly secured. There are people who God gave responsibility to make sure that you are properly secured. We know it as the fivefold ministry. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, who have to do what they're called to do, whether they like it or not. Because if we don't, the people are not properly secured. And they will have a loose connection, or for the purpose of this message, they have a casual connection. What's a casual connection? I'm so glad they invented streaming, because I don't have to get up and go out. I could sit here in my PJs and just pause it for a minute. I gotta get some more coffee. Did I miss anything? Yeah, you did, but you have no clue as to what it is you're missing. That's why these ministries that are casual have a lot of tragedy. Because a casual church with a casual attitude will produce casual Christians. Casual Christians will not be fully secured to who they are. Because our support is the Bible. And if we're casual about that, we're not going to be firmly secured to the Word of God. And if we're not firmly secured to the Word of God, when something happens, how many of you realize that the devil, he knows your weak spots? He's not going to hit your strong spot. He's going to hit your weak spot. And he'll do it every time. Why does this keep happening to me? Because you never strengthened it. Everybody playing basketball, folks, I didn't look for the strength of my opponent. I looked for their weakness. And whatever their weakness was, I exploited. Period. If they had no physical weakness and their game was tight, then I start working on their mind. That usually never fails. Because athletes have egos. So you play on their egos. And they forget who they are. They forget who they're connected to. They're no longer secure in their coach's game plan. So they decide to do something else. And they wind up playing the other team's game plan, which was not designed for their good. The devil wants to have company in hell. He knows that God put in place a method where nobody has to go to hell. But he wants company. So he's going to try and get you to do things so that you sever your connection with God. And when we choose, now, we cannot live godly and sin at the same time. You can't. So whenever we sin, we're making a choice. I'm not going to live godly for the next hour. I'm not going to be holy today, because there's some other things I want to do. And then God is gracious. He's merciful. He knew before the world began that I was going to miss it like this. And he said, if you confess your sins, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. But there's one thing that he did not say that we don't think about. Where is the verse that says, and I guarantee you will survive the sin and have an opportunity to repent? Where is that verse? It doesn't exist. That's why we have to make now choices. We have to make now decisions, because later isn't promised. One of the things that Pastor Sarah said, she said, it's nice to make plans, you know, where you're going to go on vacation next year, or in 3 years you're going to do that, or even what you're going to do tomorrow. But we're not guaranteed next year, next week, next month, or tomorrow. All we have is the present. So that means all we have is the breath in our nostrils at this moment. We are not even guaranteed a next breath. And when we're dealing with people and talking about how we're going to live our lives, we need to take that into consideration. I'll fix it later. How many of you know someone who was distraught because that loved one passed away before they had a chance to fix it? And they always say the same thing. I thought I'd have more time. And I don't say it because I don't want to be insensitive, but you had the time, you didn't take it. You chose to do something else. Whoever was supposed to inspect that connection for that crane found something else more pressing. So he did not do a thorough inspection. Mommy had a saying, when you didn't clean something right, she said, "Gregory, mop the floor." "Okay, I'll mop the floor." If I was a girl, I'd say I'm Cinderella. Then I'd come back, she said, "I thought you were going to mop the floor." "I did." She said, "No, you mopped at it." And because I didn't mop it properly, now I had to do it with a scrub brush on my hands and knees. Next time, I didn't mop at the floor. I took the time and pulled the chairs away from the wall and mopped behind them. I learned something in my 30s that I wish I had known then. Why is there never enough time to do it right, but always enough time to do it over? I rushed because I wanted to get outside. I never made it because I had to do the floor twice. And mopping is easy. Scrubbing, I thought she was in the Marines. But what's tragic about that story about the crane, support was provided. The proper support was provided. It was right there. Time had to be taken to make sure the connection to that support is secure. Because when it's secure, nothing can rattle it. Jesus, you never heard Jesus say, "Oh my God, I don't know what to do." No, he gave us another principle. He said, "I and my Father are one." He was saying, I carry myself, I conduct myself, everything I do or say is exactly what my Father would say. So if you see me, you see the Father. If you see the Father, you see me, because we're one and the same. And he prayed for us that we would be one with him, just like he's one with the Father. So if we're one with him, when they see us, they see the Father and they see the Son. Because they're one and we're one with Christ, so we're three in one. And we should act like it. I mean, would you say that if Jesus was sitting right next to you? We wouldn't even think it because we think he knows my thoughts. Let me get my thoughts right. So that crane, instead of having a solid connection, had a casual connection, and casual connections can't handle controversy. They go to pieces. and innocent folks get hurt. If Jesus had a casual connection with God, Gethsemane turns out differently. Father, you have to come up with another way because I ain't doing this. You want me, these scoundrels, they've tried to throw me off a cliff. They're going to beat me to a pulp. They're going to shove a crown on my head, and you want me to die for them? They're going to curse me while I'm on the cross. They're going to spit on my face, and you want me to die for them? I don't think so. Not me. You, God, you die for them. I and my Father are one. So, no, Father, this isn't something that I'd want to do, but it's not about me. It's about my secure connection to you. So whatever your will is in this situation, let that be done and not what I want to happen. Because above my selfish desire, I want your will to go forth. Well, we have to have that same attitude. It's okay to not like it. It's okay to wish it could be done differently. But the bottom line is, it can't. You have to go through it. If you have a strong connection because you've been living holy, you go through it without a hitch. If your connection is casual, you're going to have some different issues to deal with. And you probably won't make it. Look at what we were given. 2 Timothy 3, Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable, listen to this, for instruction, for reproof, that's correction, and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. So God gave us the Bible as our support. And if we do what it says, we'll have a very secure, unbreakable connection no matter what comes. Because once we have that connection, the immediate, eternal result of that connection is holiness. I'm connected to it. And I choose not to get away from it, because you can step away from it any time you want to. And the reason he wants us to do that, said, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. That means you have everything that you need to resist the devil. If you've taken in the scriptures, you'd have everything you need. Going back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, the culture around us won't even be an issue. We'll know it's there, but it won't have any. The only effect it'll have on us was put us to our knees more praying for people that are caught up in that system, because they don't know any better. And those political leaders that we don't like, we pray for them. We don't talk about them. We pray for them. Or I should say, we pray for them, but our prayer should be that we live a quiet and peaceable life. It doesn't, for a believer, for Christians, Our life is not dependent on who's in an office. Because the one who we're connected to has no term limits and cannot be voted out of office. They can keep putting amendments to the Constitution to try and block what he says, but our connection is secure, so it doesn't matter. We have our own Declaration of Dependence. It's on God, not on government. We have the G right, we just got to get the rest of the letters right. Jesus said, my Father, in John 10:29, he said, my Father is greater than all. No one can pluck us out of his hand. No one can pluck us out of his hand. That means we have to be in his hand. Not doing the hokey pokey. We have to be in. Can't put one hand in and one hand out. One hand and you swinging all about. While you're swinging all about, someone snatch you out. God, what happened? I thought no one could take me out of your hand. Well, you weren't in my hand. My hand is secure. It doesn't go anywhere. You decided to kick out. Well, I didn't expect that to happen. Yeah, you didn't expect. No one can pluck you out of his hand. No one can, that means no one can seize you, no one can carry you off by force, no one can snatch you out of the way, no one can lay claim on you. Nothing can separate you, nothing can carry you off. But if you're just dangling, you're subject to anything that comes by because you are not securely connected. And because you're not securely connected, all sorts of things can happen. I want to moving down to the end because I want to share this with you now. I want you to go to Mark. Show you something. Matthew. Message Bible, Matthew 17. I've shared this before, but I saw it in a different light. At the bottom of the mountain, this is when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, said they were met there by a crowd of waiting people. As they approached, a man came out of the crowd and fell to his knees, begging, Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind. He's not talking about your kids. He goes out of his mind and suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently, he's pitched into the fire, other times into the river. I brought him, listen to this, I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him. First I read that, I was like, what? You took him to Jesus' disciples and they could do nothing? But they're Jesus' disciples. Jesus said, listen to what he said. What a generation. No sense of God. No focus to your lives. That means the support was produced. They didn't recognize it as being the support. They didn't focus on being attached to the support. He said, no focus to your life. How many times do I have to go over these things? Which means they've been taught over and over and over. You have to stay connected. 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 And they have, all right, I'm connected. Casual connections. To bring the boy here. First he said, how much longer do I have to put up with this? He's like, Father, are they ever going to get it? He ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was out, gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, why couldn't we throw it out? The first time I read this, folks, it stunned me. It said, because you're not yet taking God seriously. That's the way the Message Bible puts it. That means they should have been able to do just what Jesus did. But they weren't taking what Jesus did seriously. So they didn't even have a good, solid connection to him. Because if they did, they would have been imitating him. But they were not. They had a casual connection. The devil doesn't recognize casual connections. That doesn't move him. He licks his chops when he sees casual connections. He's like, this is going to be easy. It's not even going to take a lot of strength to break this connection. All I have to do is let one thing happen. I know what I'll do. I'll let their child fail the test. They'll go to pieces. I have the husband leave the toilet seat up. Doesn't matter that it's his home too. metal. I let someone cut them off. Little thing, there's no solid connection. Any little thing will set you off. And you'll drop holiness like a bad habit and get deep into the flesh. Deep. Sometimes we get in so deep we can't find our way out. But Jesus told them, you are not yet taking God seriously. Then when you look at the account in Mark, before he gave them the Great Commission, the Bible says he had to take them to task because of their unbelief. Because they didn't believe that he was raised from the dead. So they're still, they were still at a place where they were not taking what Jesus said seriously. So their connection was wobbly at best. So their lives were wobbly. Praise God, they didn't stay that way. And neither are we. Neither are we. But just because, even when we understand that we have this solid connection of holiness to God, we know that we're to imitate everything God does because he's holy in all that he does, so I have to be holy in all that I do. If you're not mindful of it every moment, you'll miss it. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And David kept himself holy. But then everything he had to do got on him, weighed on him. So instead of going off to war, he decides, I'll send Joab. And I'm staying home. I've conquered all these kings. The treasury has never been fuller than it is now. I'm going to chill. Don't have a tube to watch. Nothing on TikTok because it wasn't invented yet. So I'm going to relax. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to go walk and just look at my kingdom. The devil said, there's a loose connection. And I know how to get him. So Bathsheba's on the rooftop bathing. Now think of this, folks. I can look this way and see someone sitting right here. But all I know is someone sitting right there. But if I think someone sitting there, they have on a mask and a black and white dress and a black sweater and there's a red bag sitting, I have to be looking at her. I have to be studying features, characteristics. So yeah, he looked into, oops. He was like, whoa. Who is that? But think about the state he must have been in. Because he found out who it was. That was Uriah's wife. Who was Uriah? One of his most faithful men. One of his most faithful. And he's, Lord, I repent. I should have been looking. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't even be here. I'll go put on my battle clothes right now and leave and join my men in battle because that's where I'm supposed to be. He said, no, bring her. Bring her to me. And what happened? Word was sent to him, I'm pregnant. No problem. Send Uriah, like Uriah can't count. Send him back from battle. Have him go sleep with his wife. Send him back. He'll think the baby's his. Uriah, faithful as he was, I'm not going to lay up with my wife and my men are in battle. I can't do that. And so David had to step even further away from holiness. Since that plan won't work, he wrote new orders and gave them to Uriah to deliver to Joab, who was in charge of the battle. Put Uriah at the front in the fiercest spot and then back away from him. Why? Because he let his connection loosen. He probably was tired. That's why we all need to get the proper rest, because we'll get ourselves overtired and we'll do things that we wouldn't normally do if we were thinking clearly. But that act by day, it costs Uriah his life. What about his men? They know what he did. They read the order. What are they thinking about? If they're normal people, some of them agreed with David's decision, others didn't. So now your men, instead of fighting at one, there's infighting going on. What about the baby? The baby died. Baby didn't do anything wrong. But David let his connection get a little shaky. And there's always collateral damage. And we have to be aware of that. And the Bible says in 2 Kings, this is what God had written about David. For David had lived an exemplary life before God all his days, not going off on his own in willful defiance of God's clear directions, except for that time with Uriah the Hittite. So God couldn't say, I know he would have loved to have said that David never going off on his own willful disobedience and left it there. But he said, except. No exceptions. We don't want any exceptions. because exceptions cost something. When there's an exception, it means that we had a casual relationship. Our support wasn't fast, it was casual. And anytime it's casual, look at 1 Corinthians. It's something we have to understand. Because we do things to our bodies because we think that they're our bodies. Passion Translation. Have you forgotten? This first started with verse 19 in 1 Corinthians 6. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? Saying, have you forgotten? Now, mind you, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's asking the church, have you forgotten who you are? You don't belong to yourself any longer. For the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then, use your body to bring glory to God. It doesn't mean you use your body when it's a muscle. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. No, you use your bodies, your actions, your words, your thoughts, give glory to God. So we need to say you're not your own. Go on, say it again. No. The Message Bible says the physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. See, when we allow our connection to become casual, we start living and acting out of character. Because once we receive Jesus as Savior and the Holy Ghost comes to live into us, the Bible says we're a new creature in Christ. When we don't act like it, we are acting out of character. Because we haven't really connected with, I'm a new creature. And we still act based on old thoughts, old attitudes, old desires. And I understand it's comfortable. I'm not standing in front of you head to toe robed in white. Now, because I'm black doesn't mean I'm really bad. You know. But I'm human like everybody else is human. But we have to be mindful of who we are and what we're supposed to be connected with. The Bible says, be ye holy, because the one who called us is holy. We're representatives of Him. God called me to be a part of this ministry. You can talk to Minister Phyllis; she'll tell you she didn't understand how I had that connection so fast. But my position was: I'm a member of this church. Then I'm a reflection of the pastors, because whatever I do, especially when they started moving me into different positions or offices here in the church, whatever I do, they're not going to say Gregory Carr did. They're going to say that guy from Redeeming Love Christian Center. They're not going to say Pastor Greg, the so-called pastor. That's what they're going to say. And it will bring down, I guess the love of God is evident in him. Or maybe he wasn't taught the word. Maybe he's just a renegade because he's not being directed by the Spirit of God. So there's no power associated in that place. and folks stay away. You don't know. That's why I've told you a number of times, I can't go off on anybody. And sometimes I want to. Because I feel they deserve it. But God won't let me. He said, and what are you going to do when I bring them into the doors of Redeeming Love Christian Center and you come out as the pastor? I'm like, I'm in another country. And he goes, you know how he answers that? With the same question. What are you going to do if they come through your church and they see you knowing what you did or said or how you acted? So everything is a smile. It'll be all right. Take a deep breath. Calm down. Then I have to give them a good tip after. I said, I want to go to tip. Go take a class so you'll know how to do your job. But I can't do that. Because the one who called me is holy. So I have to be holy. And because of it, it seems that he sends me to the most unholy people around. He sends them across my path, and I can't go off on them. Young man said to us yesterday, we were talking with him, he said, I know there's a calling on my life. I know God's been calling me. I don't want to do it. Said, and I don't like church folks. And I know why, because church folks took out the anointed hammer and started bashing them. You got to do what God did. I looked at him and said, well, you'll find out like I found out that it's better to be moving with God than against God. He knows all your feelings. Well, what did you go through? And I said, I only have time to tell you a little bit. You walked away? Yeah. I don't know if I could have done that. I didn't know if I could have either. But when I started understanding who I was, these other things were getting in the way. So I walked away from them. Can I talk to you again? Anytime we come in. Anytime you come in, it's easy to talk to. Praise God. Wasn't always that way. So we don't want to be like that crane and not be firmly secured to our support. We don't want to be that. We don't want to be the part that failed. Remember, $1 billion piece of equipment, I should say billions of dollar piece of equipment, and 7 people lost their lives because a 58 cents part didn't do what it was designed to do. And it brought down the space shuttle. 58 cents. So don't ever think that your role is insignificant. There are a lot of holy people in the room, so God will send it to one of them. You could be the one that he identifies with. So God sends them to you. What are you going to do if your connection is not solid? Don't let anything or anyone get in the way, get in between of your personal connection with God. Develop that by meditating in His Word. So you'll find out who He is and what you're to do. Do not let anyone or anything get in between you and your connection. Because that thing is not going to fall, but you will. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. We thank you for the word that you shared with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, that even now it's rolling around, and you by your Spirit are sharing some things with us personally that are loose connections. And we'll use the Bible, which is our spiritual lug wrench, to get them tightened, to get them secure. Your word says that we're to make our calling and election sure. Your word tells us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Never to be casual about anything that you told us to do. Never to be casual about anything that concerns the me and you connection. We want it solid, that it cannot ever be separated. And we thank you that we hear clearly the instructions from the Holy Ghost. And when we hear it, we will obey it to the letter. Because we want the life that you created us to live. We want to be very good at resisting the devil. We love to see him fleeing from us. And the only way that will ever happen is if we stay holy. And we can stay holy because we were made in your image and after your likeness. And that's why you said, just as the one who called us is holy, we are to be holy in all conduct and matter of living. We understand the principles. We understand that we're one with you. And we're to imitate you. We do those two things, we'll always walk in holiness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hope you got something from that. But last night, I couldn't keep up. You'll get some, next time I'm with you, you'll get some more. Because at some point, you have to put down the keypad and get a notebook and writing down. And then going back, okay, I have this. I can't do all this tomorrow, Lord. And it was, when have I not told you what to say and when to say it? But he was just showing. He showed me more about Daniel. He showed me about Joshua. You know, he had me over in Joshua 1, saying how Joshua had to do everything that he said. Joshua had to live a holy life. You know, how the people didn't get into the promised land because they didn't live holy. They had a loose connection. Anytime, think about it. Anytime something went wrong, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Can you imagine? That's like Kunta Kinte saying, it's tough out here, I want to go back. I don't want to be beaten up by the world, I'd rather be strapped to a tree and whipped. That's what we're saying. And Lord, don't let the words, I was better off in the world, come out of your mouth. As the one who called you is holy, we turn be into is for us. I know it's not correct English, but we need to say we is holy. Because it's a now, this moment situation. It's not, well, I have some plans, so I'll pick up on the holiness tomorrow. I'll be holy next week. So, as the one who called us is, we be holy in all manner. Man. Okay. Words give life, or words can kill. You need to make sure that what comes out of your mouth is holy. Because if it's unholy, something's going to die. Something's going to die. A relationship, an opportunity, a friendship, your health. You don't know what it's going to be, but something is going to die. Why? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If your words are holy, guess what they'll produce? Life. If they're not, and it's your decision. Devil can't grab you and choke you and say, I'm not going to stop choking you until you spew out death. You decide in every situation, in every circumstance, you decide. You are the only one who can determine what you're going to do or not do. No one can. Even if doing so is uncomfortable, if that's what you want to do, and that it's very easy. I can prove that to you very easily. How many of you have ever been spanked in your life? How many of you enjoyed it? So just so we're clear, you did something, it resulted in a spanking, and you didn't enjoy it. How many of you have been spanked for the same thing more than once? So spanking didn't correct anything. Now you're in a position where you knew what was going to happen and you knew how it was going to feel. But you wanted to do it, so you did it anyway. Knowing what was going to happen when you got caught. Not if. So no, you are the only one that decides whether or not you're going to live holy. My responsibility for that part in your life for right now is complete. I've shared with you what he said. You decide what you're going to do with it. I encourage you to take it and use it to tighten that connection so when something hits, it doesn't get sheared off and cause damage. You want it to hit and bounce off. And you keep going, not even knowing something hit you. Real quick basketball story. I was playing a game. We had a rule. We had a team rule. Nobody gets an and one. That simply means no one gets fouled going to the basket and you let them make the basket and get the free throw. So this was driving through. Our guard reached in, hit him on the hand. I heard the whistle blow. The guy was still going up for the basket. I was like, uh-uh. And the other thing that they didn't do then, they didn't call a second foul. So I blocked the shot and hit him so that he'd fall. Because I was sending a message, don't come down here. And he got up and he hit me. And I didn't know it. I thought something just great blew past my face. I'm walking the line up because it was a foul. And he stands in front of me and says, and I'll hit you again. I'm like, what do you mean again? You hit me? And the minute I said that, he took a deep breath. He went, start bringing his hands all. I reached out and grabbed him by the throat and picked him up. I wasn't saved then. But I had every intention of choking him out. But I had him and I was moving around showing everybody. And I looked in this direction. There was my youngest son going, "Kill him, Dad, kill him." I let him go. I said, "Oh, boy." Going home, I said, "Dad shouldn't have done that. The referee had every right to throw me out the game because that was wrong, son. You don't have to do that." He was like, "Oh." But talk about collateral damage. That same kid, he was in the first grade. I got called within a few weeks, I believe it was. Had to come up to the school because he got into a fight in his classroom and knocked the boy out. Seriously, knocked him out. And I asked the teacher, "What happened?" And she said, "Well, this other kid was bothering him." I said, "What did you do about it?" "Well, you know how boys are." "No, I do know how boys are. What did you do?" "I just told him to just, he'll stop." I said, "Not my son. He's not going to do that. He's going to do just what I told him." She said, "Well, what do you mean?" "I told him, give the person in authority the first opportunity to control it. If they can or won't, do what you have to do to get home to me. He told you, you did nothing. The kid still bothered him. He got knocked out." That would have never happened had he not seen that behavior in me. So if he saw it in me, if this is what Dad does and it works well for him, then this is what I'm going to do. And I had to apologize to him, and I had to tell him, "No, Dad was wrong. Dad, I didn't have to do that." He said, "Well, he hit you." I said, "Yeah, but he had to tell me. I didn't know. My life wasn't in danger. Nothing about me was in danger. I was just trying to prove a point." And that's a nice way of saying I just bullied him. Bullying wasn't a big deal back then, but that's what I was doing. So you got to be mindful about what you do, what you consciously do, and even what you're doing unconsciously, because you never know who's looking at you, who's watching you, who wants to imitate you. Because everybody has somebody that wants to be just like you. Everybody does. So make sure your connections, again, are tight and sure, not casual. Turn to your neighbor, please. Say, "As the one who called you is holy, you be holy in all manner of living and conduct." And I'll do the same thing. Amen. Amen. I'll ask the question. Is there anyone here who's never received Christ as Savior? Because you cannot have a connection. First of all, you have to start one. And the first part in it is receiving Christ as Savior starts that connection. Then you go through life building upon that connection. So is there anyone here and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, you've never asked him to be your Lord, to be Lord of your life, which we're going to talk about the next time we're together, because if someone's Lord of your life, how can you have a casual connection? But if you would raise your hand, I'll lead you in a confession. And Jesus will come right in. He doesn't need a moving date. It's immediate. I'm not going to ask anyone to come to the altar because you've been stepping outside of holiness. Your connection with God has been casual. That's between you and God. I just encourage you to get it fixed, because if God's bringing it up now, something's coming, and we're all going to have to be solidly connected. Solidly connected. As Pastor Sarah used to say, like a bulldog with a bone. Can't shake it off. So whatever it is, whoever you are, just fix it. Then don't think about it anymore. Don't beat yourself up. If it's in the Bible, God knew it was going to happen. That's why he told us to meditate in the word day and night, because he knew reading it once wasn't going to get it. Just think about it. If that were true, all God would have to do is say, be holy. End of story. But he knew we would need more than that. And so he's giving us what we need because he wants us to have a secure connection. So don't feel badly about anything. What was, was. We're talking about what is right now. So let the was's stay was's. And you live in what it is. Amen?